back on our lessons there where we've been, and we're going to take a little different look today. Last week we were looking at restoration of Israel, the great mystery. Paul said that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the days of the Gentiles be filled. And like I've said a couple of times, I don't know that that's a number. I don't know that it is a time. But I do know that there's a cup that's going to get full. And I lean toward that cup. And when that cup's full, God's going to pour it out. And we're going to look today, as we look at the chart, like I've said every time we've looked at it, the mystery of godliness. He's all in all and overall, and he'll be in front of this. And today we're going to look at a little bit about the mystery of godliness before we get into the mystery of iniquity and into the mystery of Babylon. I want us just to look at that cup that the Lord drank. And for years, I looked at that cup as death on the cross and how he suffered, you know, on the cross. And he suffered greatly as a human being in the flesh. He suffered greatly. But there was something that was happening to Jesus that God was putting on him that death doesn't justify it. And I want us to look at that today. Now, he died for us. And he rose again the third day. But I want us to look today at that cup. And I think that it'll change your whole outlook on Calvary. As I've said many times in this class, my prayer for years, and still is, God help me to understand a little bit about Calvary and what you've done for us. I mean, a lot of people know enough to be saved by it. God, he gave his life for us. But when we look at what we're looking at today, then we go back to John 3:16. And we look at it then, man, it looks so much different. And I'm going to read that scripture today before we go into this lesson out of John 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And as I thought about this, he gave. He just did not give him in birth to us. He gave him for sin. And I want you to think on this. He gave his only begotten Son. When that man in the Old Testament took a lamb that was spotless, a spotless lamb, pure, clean, and he did what to that lamb? He took that lamb out there and he laid his hands on that lamb. And he presented that lamb as a sacrifice for sin. And I want us to look at this in thought today. God gave. How did he give him? Did he just give him in birth, and then in death, and then in resurrection? One preacher that's well known by all of us and a big writer says that when he's praying in the garden, he's praying about dying. And he said, let this cup pass from me. And he said, in essence, that cup did pass because he rose from the dead. God answered his prayer. That's true. But that's not enough for what God has done for us. I want us to look at Psalms. I'm going to try to get, this lesson may take 2 weeks. I'm not going to rush. I want us to look at a lot of scriptures. I want us to look at Psalms 22 and verse 1. We're talking about that cup. Of great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Psalms 22, 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's Jesus crying out on Calvary. Why hast thou forsaken me? God gave his only begotten son. If I give you something, it's no longer mine. And for a time there, God gave his son. And it says, and we'll use this scripture again today, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin. He gave him. I want you to see the depth of that. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In Psalms 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He gave him up. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime that thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? For God so loved the world that he made him to be sin for us. John looked, and we don't have time to run all of these scriptures, but John looked and said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. How did that lamb take those sins away? He bore those sins. How did that goat run off into the wilderness? Carrying the sins of the people. Now, I want you to look at John 18:11 before we get into Matthew. We're going to look at a lot of scripture today because it's better that way. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? This lesson today, just what is that cup? That cup is the fullness of the wrath of God for the penalty of sin. Which means separation for God, from God. In circumcision, what's circumcision? Cutting away the flesh. The Son of God, God's only Son, became flesh. And he was circumcised through the circumcision of Christ. Okay? So what was that? That flesh was cut off from God. This is powerful, what God has done for us. It's alarming to see the point of Calvary. And I'm going to try just to read the scriptures and not do a lot of talking about it, all right? In John 18:11, he said, told Peter, said, put up the sword. Put it in your sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? All right? Jesus never had to worry about dying. You say, no, he didn't have to worry about dying. I don't think death, and let's look at the scriptures. John 10:17. I want us to see that cup. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. He knows he's going to lay his life down, and he knows he's going to take it again. But his soul, which God made an offering for sin, can never die. His body, yes, he died for us. But think about that soul. He paid the ultimate penalty for my soul. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father.
Amen.
I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. But something was troubling our Lord greatly. Something was troubling him greatly. We're going to look at these scriptures as we go through. All right, let's look at John 7:32. Some simple scriptures here. But I don't think he had any worry about dying. He's going to take his life again. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. He knew his mission. He knew that his life was in his hands. All right, let's read some more scriptures. Look at 7:30. Then they that sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. He controlled his hour. He said, no man taketh my life, but I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I'll take it again. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Yeah. I'm not taking anything away from a brutal death that our Lord died, but that's all people see, folks. I'm telling you, that's all they see. Then they go about trying to live for God and take care of their own sin. When you see what God became and how he took care of your sin, you shouldn't have those silly thoughts. Because there's one propitiation, one payment accepted, and that was his own blood. Okay? Now, I want you to look at Luke 4:29. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today, but I want you to try to keep this thought, and I'll try to move to where we can keep this thought. Luke 4:29. Let's look at verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. No man taketh my life. I lay it down. They're going to take him out there and cast him over. The devil tried to do it too, didn't he? He said, go ahead and cast yourself over. He said, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Do you imagine what happened? I bet they said, they had him, was going to cast him down, and all of a sudden he's gone. Where'd he go? What'd you do with him? Did you get him? He's gone. And he just passed through the midst of them. They never knew what happened. I have power to take it, and I have power to lay it down. Something was troubling our Lord. And I think Paul hit it right on the head when he said, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He had to be cut off from God. He had to pay that ultimate sacrifice. Great. Paul said it's great. is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. When Christ was crucified, when God turned his back on his son because of that sin, what happened to this world? Man, God, I'm just talking now. You can look this up, and if you believe it, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. But this world reeled and rocked, didn't it? Darkness come and the earthquakes. Brother, the man, the one that spoke it into existence had become sin. Things is out of control. Why did he tell those disciples when he went in that garden, pray that you enter not into temptation? How many times did he tell them that? Why? Because I'm going to leave you. For a short while, I'm going to leave you. But he said, go to Jerusalem, didn't he? The place that I'll meet you there. They didn't listen. He had to go get them when they went fishing. Just think of these things now. When he becomes sin, what happened? Look at Jonah. He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, right? So shall the Son of Man be in the center of the earth. Read Jonah. He said the wall, he's went down it's engulfed him. The dredges have engulfed him. And we're going to see some of this as we move on. They couldn't kill him. They wanted to. They took him there and he just disappeared. That's exactly what happened. He just went right through the midst of them. All right. Look at John 10:18. Back to John. We need to see I can't explain it. I just can't explain it. It's a great mystery. Greatest mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. I can't explain it. I can't explain Calvary. I know my Lord died there, but that's just not the end of it. Brother, there's some great there's a great debt had to be paid. John 10 and verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. All right, now I want you to look. No man could take his life, and he faced it joyfully. As far as death, he faced it joyfully. Watch in Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, he had a mindset. He knew where he was going. He knew that no man could take his life, but he laid it down. Now, I want you to go to Colossians 2:15. I'm going to try to move through all these scriptures today and just read a lot of them. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, because death could not hold him. He made a show of them openly in his resurrection. Death couldn't hold him. Now, let me just stay with the notes here. So he faced it joyfully. He faced it knowing that no man took his life. He laid it down. He told them directly. And every gospel, he told them in Matthew 16, I'm going up to Jerusalem and there I'll be crucified and I'll raise again the third day. But something's troubling our Lord bad. All right. Let's look at Matthew 26. I need to read more scriptures here. I want you to read Matthew 26 very thoroughly this week. Read it. And look at this. Hey, some things we need to point out here as quick as I can. Time flies in here. And he took the, verse 27, and he took the cup. Now, I want you to think about what he's saying about this cup that he's taken and that he's giving the disciples and what it is and what it represents. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the what? The remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I don't have time to run this rabbit, but I want you to think about this. He said in John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Right? In that, he's the true vine. And this is the fruit of the vine they're drinking, which represented his blood, the blood of the vine. He's the vine. And he shed that blood for the remission of sins. But that ultimate debt had to be paid. And death is a big part of it, but it don't thoroughly explain it. All right? In Matthew 26, let's look at Matthew 26. I want you to read a lot of this. I don't have time today, but in Matthew 26, 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay? He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father. Now, I want you to watch this scripture. This cup is not going to pass away from him. Do you realize if he does not drink that cup, all humanity is doomed in hell? All the Old Testament saints is doomed. There's no hope. Unless why? He becomes the Lamb of God and drinks that cup. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He said, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. Brother, it was something that was placed on him and it was coming. And it would not pass away except he drank it. And that's not just death. That's a holy and righteous God become flesh and died for us. Became sin. And we have churches who are going to face God on their own righteousness and stand before God and say, I did this, I did that. You better back up and get it right. That's what you better do. Think about it. He hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, the bride, the Gentiles, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he's not asking not to die. Is that clear? Or am I just seeing something? You can shake your head either way, and it won't hurt my feelings. A lot of people disagree with me, and it don't hurt my feelings. It won't. I promise you that. But he's not praying that death won't come on him, because he said, he passed right through them people. He said, I'm going to lay it down, and I'm going to take it up. But brother, look what he become. Look what God himself became for us. So he's not asking. Look at 26:53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But he said, except I drink this cup, it won't pass from me. There was only one penalty for sin. The Lamb of God. Just as if you were in the Old Testament and you had have taken that spotless lamb and you laid your hands on it and that priest cut its throat, it became sin for you. He became sin for us and paid that ultimate debt. And for him to become sin, he had to be circumcised. Not the circumcision he got as a baby, which was a representation of Moses' law, that there was a problem in the seed. There was not a problem in his seed, that he's the Son of God. But he was cut off from God. And he is greatly troubled. So he's not praying that death wouldn't come upon him and that he wouldn't have to die. And in Hebrews, people will use that one verse, which is a verse there that shows what men saw and that he greatly feared, right? And learned obedience. Yes, he was the man. He was God in the flesh. It's a great mystery. And he did learn obedience. And he did fear. But what did he fear? Man, you can't convince me that it was death he feared. I don't care how many commentaries you write. Brother, it was that cutting off and that becoming sin. And hey, that's such a... You're helpless before God when you see that. He paid a debt he didn't owe. We owed a debt we couldn't pay. All right, up until Matthew chapter 26, what was the cup? Okay, I'm going to look at three scriptures. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 25. Something these guys were familiar with, a cup, because they read their Bible. Jeremiah 25:15. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup. You see that? What did he say? This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. And he said, I will not drink it until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The grape is a representation of blood and the squeezing out of it. I think that tree, the vine tree, I think that's what Adam and Eve ate. I don't know. I just said I think I did that. It ain't no apple. That vine tree. Why? Blood. Blood, life of flesh is in the blood, right? What did he do? Die. What's the blood? Blood of the grape. All right? For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. This wine cup is the fullness of the wrath of God on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, lest this cup pass from me. He said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. I've got power to take it down. Lay it down. I've got power to take it up. But God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he was cut off from God and this world rocked and reeled. Like souls are going to be. Isaiah says, and we'll look at that scripture if we have time, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. For he hath made his soul an offering for sin. If it was his body, which is a part of it, don't misunderstand me here and go saying something I'm not saying, okay? But if it was his body only, then he's going to take it up again. And he's going to take his soul up again. But he made his soul an offering for sin. The soul don't die, does it? Does it? No. So that's what he made an offering for sin, brother. And we'll see some more as we go through here. Look at Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51:17. I got to thinking about this Sunday night. I'm just sitting there and all this hit me. And I just said, you know, I'm going to drop back and go over this. And I started doing some research with my little computer, handheld computer, looking at some of these words. And trying to find scriptures that were in my mind. And seeing what God had, just to know a little bit about what God's done for us. Isaiah 51. Verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. That's the cup he's talking about drinking, is the fierceness of the wrath of God, the dregs of it. Now go back and read this. We ain't got time today. You go back and read Jonah with this in mind. How the waves have compassed him and taken him under. Waves of suffering, waves of sin. And went down into the lowest pit. Look at Psalm 75:8. That's the cup he's talking about. Not just death. This is a tremendous verse right here. For in the hand of the Lord, there's a cup. For in the hand of the Lord, there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. But you know what? What, folks? They don't have to. Because he did it. He did it for us. He drank it. He said, except this cup pass from me unless I drink it. And he told those disciples, said, this is the cup of the New Testament in my name, the blood. Take you, drink it. He said in John 6:63, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. You see that? And that ain't talking about drinking that juice that the deacons will hand out here. He went on and explained it. Many left him. Many were offended. And they walked away. And he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. We drink the word of God and believe it and take it into us. He said, if this cup cannot pass from me, Lord. Now, we done seen what he thought about death and how he treated them guys that thought they could kill him. But there's a cup. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Now the devil tries to match that. Turn to Revelation 17:4. And you know, this is critical to understanding some things about this mystery of Babylon when we get into it. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Do you realize that's what God poured out on his son? He said, except this cup pass from me. I said, look. He paid for everybody. He paid for the sins of the world. And this woman, and we're going to look at this a little bit more when we get into the mystery of Babylon. Seven hills, seven mountains, scarlet, guilty of the blood of the saints. Amen. Tough. But you see here, there's a cup in the hand of the Lord. And brethren, when that cup is full, that cup, he became sin for every man on this earth, did he not? The debt's already been paid. All we got to do is drink the cup. Take you, drink all of it. He told those disciples, this is the New Testament of his blood in his name. He said, except this cup pass from me, Lord. Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath made his soul an offering for sin. Turn to John chapter 12. Soul doesn't see death. Soul suffers, but he don't see death. He made his soul an offering for sin. John 12:27. Now is my soul troubled. You see that? Soul don't die. Now, come on, help me out here. I know I'm getting a little wild here. This is some wild thoughts, okay? But the soul don't die. It ain't death he's talking about. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. But when he looked in that garden and he looked into the cup, and see, he's starting right there. Watch. He says here, now is my soul troubled. But in Matthew chapter 26, he said, my soul is troubled even to the point of death. I mean, his sweat were as they were, which is great drops of blood staining his garments. And when he comes back with his garments stained with blood, he became sin for us. God made him to be sin. God made his soul an offering for sin. Made his soul. Jonah. Let's look at John 26:38. I might have the wrong scripture. I do. I'm sorry. Revelation 20:11-15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's the death he feared. God had made him to be sin for us. And he took that sin down there and just left it in hell. That's right. He paid a debt for us that just, it's incomprehensible. That's why great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's why John 3:16 is just not a little old verse. You could preach a whole life on it. Many old preachers said that. For God so loved the world, he gave. Now you see a little bit more today how he gave his son. He gave him to be sin. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? The circumcision of Christ. And that circumcision is not the law. We're not saved by the law. It was when he was, as a man, was cut off from God. And he paid a debt, an ultimate price, and took care of our sin. And now, one of these days, for those who did not accept it, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that's the second death. If you're born twice, you only die once. Unless you get raptured, then you won't die at all. But if you're only born once, you die twice. True. I don't see how anybody could say that he feared death. But that's what you liberal preachers stand every Sunday and say. And he feared. He was just like us, he feared. It wasn't like me. If somebody took me to the edge of the mountain, they'd have tossed me right off. I couldn't have disappeared. Yeah. Now, there'd probably been some weak from kicking and hollering. I couldn't have got away if I'd have wanted to. But God hath made him. Is that not powerful? God hath made him to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I hope this lesson helped you to realize we don't know hardly anything about what God did at Calvary. Neither does Mel Gibson. And I understand, folks, that was good. A lot of people looked at that and said, oh, how you suffered. But I'm going to tell you, God made him suffer. God made him to be sin, and God made his soul an offering for sin. And that was the payment. And when it comes for redemption through his blood and propitiation in Romans chapter 3, redemption is the payment made, propitiation is the payment accepted. And God would only accept his own blood for the remission of sins. And he would only accept one lamb to be presented as sin. And that was Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you.